Tonight we'll continue our journey through Colossians. We are almost done chapter 1. Getting closer. Tonight we'll be in verse 26, and the name of the message is the Gospel Mystery. The Gospel Mystery. Let's read the verse in context, though, with verses 25 and 27. Scripture declares in verse 25, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations," and here's our verse tonight, "but now is made manifest to his saints. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So last week we looked at verse 25, and we saw that it was by the dispensation of God that Paul was made a minister. Now all the Lord's preachers are made preachers by God. He chooses to put a man into a position of pastoring or teaching. A man, you know, and Sunday school teachers, the same thing. It's God's doing. He gives us the gifts to be able to preach and teach. And the preacher's growing just as much as everyone else. We grow in Christ as we study the Word. And we grow in our love for the Christ, for our Lord, and we grow in our love for one another too. So last week, though, we looked at verse 25, where we saw that it was by the dispensation of God that Paul was made a minister. What Paul didn't seek it out. Remember, on the road to Damascus, he wasn't seeking it out. He was seeking the opposite, wasn't he? He was seeking to destroy Christians, and God called him. We also looked at how the word minister was a servant, and how the Lord's preachers lead the flock of God. They lead the flock wherever they're placed, like a watchman. They lead the flock like a watchman, but they do not lord over the sheep of God. They're called to be a minister, which in the Greek was called to be a servant. A servant. God's preachers are servants. And think of this too. Paul was called to be a minister to the church, the very church that he persecuted. The very church that he persecuted. And now he serves this church that he made havoc in. And I just marvel as I was studying this. I thought, that's a marvel of the grace of God. That the very church that he once persecuted, now he serves. Now he serves. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will change the vilest sinner and make him a saint of God. And now, we got into that a little bit too. God's people are called saints, aren't they? The Pope don't make saints. God makes saints. Only God. And look what it says in our text here, "but now is made manifest to his saints." That's all of God's elect. That's all of them. So Paul was called to be a minister, a servant to the church. A little historical background for us in looking at this verse tonight is the fact that Paul and the Colossians, they lived in a world of mystery religions. Mystery religions. Which all offered different ways for the seekers of those religions to come into a privileged circle. This is what the Gnostics were all about. They were a supposed privileged few, and only they could dispense this privileged knowledge that they had to other people. It's cultic. Because we'll see that too. As we look at this verse tonight, we'll see the opposite's true of God's Word. It's preached to all. It's preached to all. So they offer different ways for the seekers of those different religions to come into a privileged circle along with others I almost said circus, but that's basically what it was, but privileged circle along with others who had found the secret that they were seeking for. So Paul's continuously in all the epistles he's writing, he's combating the Judaizers, he's combating the Gnostics here and in others. He's instructing Timothy in pastoral things and how he should act and how he should live. And so here he's combating the error of these religions, these mystery religions. The Gnostic error, which was basically saying the same thing as the mystery religions, that only the Gnostic teachers could impart that knowledge to those who they taught. They had a deeper understanding, they thought. And no one else could impart this deeper understanding but them. And the Gnostics spoke of truths hidden from general Christianity. See, they crept in and they said, well, we have this knowledge, and only we can teach you this. And they seem to have offered an additional rite of circumcision. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. It's in contrast to that. One commentator said they seem to have offered an additional rite of circumcision as a kind of second baptism. But look at how Paul contrasts. Paul just goes right at the false teachers in this. Look at verse 11 of chapter 2. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's speaking of the new birth, beloved. That's speaking of the new birth. It pictures the new birth. You must be born again. So the Gnostics described this supposed spiritual treasure, which they could only dispense, as bringing people to a higher spiritual plane. A higher level than just normal Christians. And as I said, only they believed that they could dispense this knowledge. It's very similar to Pentecostals claiming the second blessing. In the sense of, Vicky ran into a bunch of them when she was an Armenian, and they said, well, you got to speak in tongues to be saved. And that's what some of them believe. Not all of them believe that, but some of them do. Well, it's no different. It's no different. And you got to seek it, supposedly, and get yourself all wound up and in a dither to do it. We will see tonight that the truth is made manifest, and it's in Christ and Him alone. Now, Paul's understanding of the mystery is quite in contrast to the false teachers' claims. The false teachers were claiming that the mystery which they promoted was true, and that only they could teach it. But look at the contrast to this mystery which Paul proclaims was hid by God and is now revealed by God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 26 again. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a contrast. What a contrast. Paul speaks of this mystery as not exclusive. To which a few, not exclusive to the body of Christ, in the sense, or not exclusive, it's exclusive to the body of Christ, but it's known by all the body of Christ. It's not a select circle that have an inner more knowledge than everyone else. It's not that. This mystery is revealed to all of God's saints, to all His saints. And this mystery teaches us about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth, the gospel of redemption in Christ alone, which would have remained unknown had not God revealed Christ or the gospel. It would have remained unknown if God hadn't revealed it. Brother Tim and I have talked many times about that, how the gospel has to be revealed. It's got to be. Or we'll never know it. We'll never know it. So contrast the exclusiveness of the Gnostics, right, with the inclusiveness of the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As God's people, His elect, where do they come from? Every kindred, in tongue, in people, in nation, and they are all redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. They're all redeemed by His precious blood. And the Word of God, right, it centers in Christ, doesn't it? It centers in Him. It's all about Him. He is the object of our faith. He's the object of the Word. It's a book of redemption. It speaks of redemption in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Word of God centers in Christ, as does the Gospel of Christ. And it is the Gospel of Christ which is God's glorious mystery. Think on this. It is also now proclaimed by God's preachers all over the world. And it has been since New Testament times. It's not something you learn in secret, which is what the Gnostics were promoting. But it's publicly proclaimed. Do you see the contrast? Huge contrast between the Gnostic teachers and the truth of the gospel. Publicly proclaimed, and God's Holy Spirit opens the eyes and the ears of sinners to see Christ. How? By the proclamation of the gospel. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3. By the proclamation of the gospel, by the proclamation of the wonderful mystery of the gospel. The wonderful mystery of the gospel. And think of this. Before we were saved, we who believe, it was a mystery to us, wasn't it? We didn't have a clue. We didn't understand it. We didn't understand who Christ was. But oh, when He revealed Himself. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you inward, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery. The mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man. As it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See, there it is. The gospel must be revealed. Must be. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That was the strangest thing to the Jews. And of the same body and partakers of His promise. Look at this. In Christ, by the gospel. By the gospel. We must preach the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. That ties right into last week's study, doesn't it? He's made a minister by the dispensation of God. Unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You can't mine it. Even to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Again, this is the gospel, beloved. This is Christ, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities power and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose. Oh, there we go. God has an eternal purpose, beloved. He has a people, and they're in Christ according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. So the Gnostics and other false teachers taught that they were the only ones who could, as I said, dispense these supposed higher truths. But Paul, in what we just read and in our text, destroys these lies. He destroys these lies by bringing forth that the mystery which had been hidden from ages and generations is only found in Christ. It's nowhere else. It's nowhere else. And He is all. There's nothing to be added. Nothing to be added. It's been hidden, though, from ages and generations. So let us approach this verse, beloved, knowing this, that Paul is here going to tell us about a mystery that is undiscoverable by man unless God reveals it. It's undiscoverable by man unless God reveals it. Paul is going to bring forth the mystery of the gospel of redemption by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been hidden for ages and generations. Ages and generations. Oh. Ages and generations. And He's going to preach and proclaim. Look at verse 26 again. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. The gospel of redemption is the mystery of mysteries. The mystery of mysteries. Paul tells us in our text that the gospel which has been hid from ages and from generations is now revealed, is now proclaimed, is now presented in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to think of this, we who are saved. It's God who reveals this to us. It's God who reveals this. This mystery is made clear to God's people. It is proclaimed and made manifest by the Spirit of God to the saints through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we see again how vital it is for us to preach Christ. How vital it is. And let we who believe ponder this, that God has revealed Himself to us through the preaching of His Word. He has revealed Christ to us by His Holy Spirit. Through the proclamation of the gospel. We who did not want to hear anything about Christ at one time, now that's all we want to hear. It's incredible. It's a miracle of grace. It's an absolute miracle of grace. And it's God who made us to differ, not we ourselves. It's incredible. Mercy. Oh, we receive mercy. Now think on this too. Think on all those nations and all those kingdoms. I was looking at this morning. All those nations and all those kingdoms. This mystery was hidden from. Think on the Greeks. All the ages and generations. Think on the Romans. Right up to the point when Christ came and then He's proclaimed. But think of all the time before that. Mystery. Think on the Egyptians. All those years. The kingdom of Cush. The Nok kingdom in Africa. The Kerma kingdom. Think of all of Asia. All of Africa. The Roman world before this wonderful gospel was proclaimed, before Christ came to redeem His people from their sins, they had no Bible. They were left to themselves. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and they perished in their sins. They had no revelation from God. They had no scriptures. They were just left in the darkness of their thoughts, in the darkness of their imaginations. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They worshipped and served the creature. They made idols out of wood and idols out of stone. The gods of their imaginations. And they bowed down and worshiped them, forging their own supposed gods. They were blind, fallen humanity with no hope, heading headlong to their own destruction into a Christless eternity. They had no revelation of God. This mystery had been hid from ages and from generations. Generations of people who perished without any word from God. Now it was revealed to God's saints before the coming of Christ our Savior into this world through animal sacrifices. In those ceremonies under the old Mosaic economy which Israel performed, they were veiled. Christ was veiled in types and shadows. They were all pointing to the one who would come. But think of all those nations around them. This was hid. And the gospel of Christ includes His incarnation, that God Himself became a man, left the glories and splendors of heaven, and became a man. Fully God and yet fully man. His nature, His deity, perfect, spotless, God in the flesh. His person, His office, prophet, priest, and king, His death, His resurrection, and His salvation. And this gospel is the ancient gospel. As Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But this gospel is not understood by the natural mind. And Paul here in our text says it must be made manifest. I'll read to you what our text says. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting in verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Right? They've been manifested to us. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We must be taught. I didn't have a clue who God was before the Lord saved me. I'm just scratching the surface now. But I didn't even know who He was until He revealed Himself. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the gospel was veiled in promises, in sacrifices, in ceremonies, and prophecies. But beloved, now it is made manifest, revealed by the Holy Spirit of God to the saints by the preaching of the gospel. And without the Holy Spirit revelation, the gospel remains a mystery. It remains a mystery. And it is profound. The natural man cannot know it or understand it. Oh, we pray that God would take the preaching of His Word and manifest Christ to those who do not know Him, to His lost sheep. And let us remember, we who've been taught of God, we who've been taught the Gospel, we who've had Christ revealed to us, that we see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass darkly. And what we know, what we have learned, is for us to glorify God, not to puff ourselves up. Scripture declares now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity, which is love, edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet, as he ought to know. We're just scratching the surface. One of these days I'm going to learn how to preach. We're all, and you know what the desire of the preacher is? That you would grow in grace, that you'd mature in Christ. And that's our desire. That's that the lost sheep would be gathered in, and that God's sheep would be built up in Christ and grow in grace and the knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to puff us up, but that we might glorify God more. That we might give Him all the glory. All the glory. So Paul was called to be a minister to the church, and he was called to preach and proclaim the free grace of God in Christ. The mystery, think of it, the mystery has been hid for ages and from generations. And this is true of all of God's ordained preachers. God has appointed us to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. Now we live in a time when the gospel is revealed, according to our scripture here, right? Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. We have the whole Bible. We have the scriptures, and Christ is revealed in these scriptures as the Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures, and we're born again. And I remember reading the Bible before I was saved, and it was just ink and paper. And now, you see things. You'll be reading something, and something will just come alive. You may have read it 50 times and not seen it. And the Lord just reveals it when you need it. And when He's pleased to reveal it. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So we live in a time when the gospel is revealed. It's clearly revealed and manifest in the Word of God. Right here. Christ is manifested in the Word of God. But we also live in a time where the gospel is almost commonplace. Not commonplace to we who believe, but everyone's got religion. They think they have the gospel, but they don't. And there's a lot of religious error. Men and women go to church to what? They go to church to be entertained. They go to church to be entertained. We're not here to be entertained. We want to know, we want to learn, and we want to know about Christ. And they also go to church. We didn't go to this place, but there was a church in Medford. It was known as the place to go when you wanted to network. So you had a business, you want to network, you go to this church, and there's all kinds of folks that were professionals that were there. And it was a networking church. Well, there's no gospel there. No gospel there. And this is why people do. People go to church. They also go to church to be told what to do. Some folks go to church to be told what to do. And I'm talking modern churches. I'm not talking Grace churches. I'm talking these goat pens that are all around us. They go there. They go there to be told what to do, and then they pat themselves on the back. Then they pat themselves on the back for doing certain things and not doing certain things. And they will be extremely quick to brag about it. To tell you that, I don't do that. I don't do that. Well, there's some things we ought not to do, right? There is. We don't have to go around bragging about it, though. like a religious checklist that I'm better than someone else. That's not how the believer works. I stand before you, a redeemed man, not by anything I've done. A redeemed man, not by anything I've done, but I am redeemed because of what Christ has done. I'm redeemed because of what Christ has done. He has saved me. He has saved me from all my sins. Not some of them, but all of them. All of them. And it's by the shedding of His precious blood. And all God's people will say amen. Right? That's how we're saved. Amen. That's how we're saved. And this pardon is a full pardon. It's a complete pardon. And it's only in Christ. And now there are many false preachers out there. Many false preachers. Many false religions. Scripture says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." 1 John. That was written by John years ago. And it's not hard to realize, it's not hard to figure out that we live in a world of religious deception. Just turn your TV on. Turn your TV on to a religious channel. I wouldn't recommend it, but and you will be bombarded with false preachers preaching a prosperity gospel. You remember how I said God's preachers are sent? They're not God's preachers. They're not sent by God. They're not sent by God. They think they're God's preachers. They think they are. But they've only deceived themselves, and they're deceiving others. They're deceiving the folks who watch them. And works-based preachers are the same way. They keep busy. They keep busy doing all kinds of things. And they keep even the people going to church so busy too. They have all these activities going on to keep everyone happy, and everyone you got to make sure you're keeping everyone happy. Someone once said of a works-based preacher, they give more advice than lawyers. They visit more sickly people than doctors do, and they shake more hands than a politician does. And when they do find the time to preach, what they preach is anything but the gospel. But God sends His preachers. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. God sends His preachers to places where His sheep are. He sends His preachers to where God's sheep are, where His sheep are. They need to be fed. And maybe there's a few there that need to be drawn in. And the Holy Spirit will use the preaching of the gospel to save those whomever He's pleased. But God sends His preachers to places where His sheep are, and where His people are. To those who are ordained to believe the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How can someone call on someone they've never believed? This is the old adage you guys have heard me say many times that in religion no one goes to hell. Well, how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And then, how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, okay, except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 18, and we'll tie this right in. God's preachers aren't playing church. They're not playing church. They have one message. They must proclaim Christ and Him crucified to a lost and dying world. They must. One message. They preach Christ and God does the saving. And He does the revealing. And the saints will glorify their great God. Look at Acts chapter 18, verses 9 to 11. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have what? Much people in this city. He starts preaching. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But the Lord said, I have much people in this city. God will send his preachers where his people are to hear the gospel of God's free grace in Christ. If a town has a gospel church, we should rejoice because there are many goat pens all around us. I listened to Jim's messages and he talked about how a lot of you drive a long distance and you pass many of those places. Many of those places. The gospel's not proclaimed. But oh, if a town has a gospel church, then we should rejoice. We should rejoice. God will send a preacher to where his sheep are, and his sheep rejoice in the preaching of the gospel, which is the mystery spoken of in our text. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So that which was a mystery is now revealed in Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed from right here in Elmont. From right here in Elmont. And many other places, right? Many other places. And then it goes all over the world via sermon audio. It's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And the term mystery is here used twice. Once in verse 26 and once in verse 27. And it represents that which was hidden is now revealed. That which was hidden. Remember all those generations and all those ages? Look at verse 26 and 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known. Now he must make it known to us, right? We never know. If he doesn't manifest it, we don't have a clue. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Oh, so our text continues. Now made manifest to his saints. The gospel is a mystery, but a mystery that must be preached fully. And God, the Holy Spirit, will reveal Christ to his people. But now is made manifest to his saints. This mystery was hid from ages and generations. And let us take note there. Now is made manifest to his saints. This absolutely destroys works-based religion. It destroys it. Which says it's all about your decision. It's all about what you do. They say Jesus is there. He's waiting. He's wringing his hands. He's hoping. Not according to this scripture. It says now made manifest to his saints. The gospel must be revealed. In the Greek here is made manifest is one word. And it means to make manifest or visible or known that which has been hidden or unknown. That which has been hidden or unknown. To manifest whether by words or deeds in any other way. Make actual and visible. Realized. And then the Greek continues to say to make known by teaching. We're taught of God. We're taught of God, the Holy Spirit. To become manifest. To make known. God was manifest in the flesh, wasn't he? Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Exposed to view. Make manifest to show oneself. I like that. To show oneself appear. God revealed himself in Christ. The God-man mediator. And remember in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we see that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But they're not calling them unless they believe, right? And they cannot believe unless they hear the truth about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's ordained preachers are His instruments who are sent to preach the gospel so that His people can hear the truth. And the Holy Spirit takes it and reveals Christ. And we become born again. Born again. So this God-honoring truth is clearly set forth in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 15, that we can't believe unless the Spirit of God shows us. And we must believe on Christ. We must believe on Him. And this is exactly what our text is showing us tonight, too. The gospel mystery has been hid from ages and from generations. Now think of this, beloved, if you're saved. It was hid from all them folks. And it was revealed to you. That's humbling. That's humbling. That makes us even say more, why me? It's because of the grace of God in Christ. Because He loved us with an everlasting love from eternity. But is now made manifest to His saints. So Paul was a minister, a servant, along with all of God's ministers in every generation to preach the Word of God, the truth of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. And it's proclaimed to all, right? The gospel goes forth. But it's made manifest to His saints. Made manifest to His saints. He makes it manifest to His saints. Sinners. Sinners. Ones who are born dead in trespasses and sins. The ones who are bankrupt and can't help themselves. And He makes this marvelous mystery manifest to His people. To His saints. And what happens? They run to Christ. They run to Christ. Oh. And what happens as a result of that? God gets all the glory. He gets all the honor. He gets all the praise. So He makes the mystery manifest to His saints. They've been brought to an end of themselves and they flee to Christ. They're made willing in the day of His power. And God is the only one who can reveal His gospel, which is what our next verse will be leading into next week. Look at this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at that verse. Sister Kara, can we sing that Redeemed song? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Let's turn to song 13. I know it wasn't on the agenda, but it'd be nice to close with that.
Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful and grateful.